Good morning. Cold outside, warm in here, isn't it? Good to see all of you. Glad we were all able to make it out. Good place to be. For a start, as usual, when I'm leading a discussion, I want it to be a discussion. So feel free to chime in if you have thoughts or questions or disagreements or whatever. Just jump in and we'll deal with it. When I graduated from high school back in 1900 and none of your business, I felt sure I was destined to be a leader of men. No doubt in my mind. Now that I'm old, I realize I was destined to be a mower of grass. Life and life's experiences and knocks have taught me that. We were raised to think big. I don't know if they still do it or not. Do you still have high school annuals? Do you have them? And we write in each other's annuals? Do we still do that? We did. Our high school principal wrote on mine, "You can be anything you really want to be." That's nice. It ain't so, but it's nice. I'll never be a ballet dancer. It's not going to happen. Before I start about the topic of the lesson today is thinking small. Before I start on that, a disclaimer is in order. We should never think that thinking big is all wrong. It is not. The Great Commission, Mark 16:15-16, and Matthew 28:19-20, go ye into all the world. That's big, isn't it? That's a big plan. I can't imagine thinking all the world. That's what we're commanded to do. And then in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So before I start talking about small things, I want to make sure that you don't go away thinking that I said disregard the big things. That is not true. Mission points, mission efforts, great programs have been done by the Lord's people, and we want to continue those things. And also, I want to make sure that we understand not to ignore a big thing, to do some picayune thing. Remember the rebuke that Jesus gave Martha when Martha was complaining that Mary wasn't helping her in the kitchen. And he said, she's chosen the greater thing. You've chosen the petty thing. We need to realize that. After having said all those things, we need to think about doing the small things that are in front of our faces. I hope I've gotten better at this through the years. I'm still a long way from being good at it. I think I've gotten better. I've got a lot of improvement, and I thought if I need this so bad, maybe you need it a little bit. I don't know that, but maybe you do. Three songs came to mind when I was working on this lesson, and they're special songs, favorites of mine. Unfortunately, they've been left behind. As we've printed more and more songbooks, we've left a lot of these gorgeous. I've heard Jimmy talk about this, leaving some of these beautiful old things behind. The number one song that I thought about is in the old Sacred Selections. I think it was number 80. I led it so many times. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Now, Johnny Dale says there ain't no such thing as small things. That's true up to a point. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the little individual deeds that I need to be doing that frequently I run past them in my effort to do something big. And the next song is a song that one of the great tenors I got to sing with during my years of quartetting, old Jerry Red, sang Little Is Much. It's talking about do not wait to do these great big things. The harvest field that you're chosen may not be big. It may be little. Go ahead and do it anyway. And then the last one, and I think David and I have sung this maybe back in the classroom out of an old book, Bright in the Corner Where You Are. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to spread your light afar. To the many duties ever near you, brighten the corner where you are. I need to learn that lesson. I'm getting a little better thanks to a lot of people. Thanks to Rose. We went to see a young lady yesterday. I never would have thought about it. Rose said, we need to see this young lady. She's not got long to live. We went over there and visited with them, and they just were so glad. Never occurred to me. I was too busy thinking big. I need to get better at that. Maybe you do too. I don't know. Way back, they must have had trouble back in the Old Testament, because one of the prophets, Zechariah 4, said, for who hast despised the day of small things? So they were dealing with that too, weren't they? I guess the best group of scriptures on this is the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 14, when he compares the church and the members of the church to the parts of the body. You might want to look it up, because it pretty well nails it down. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not the eye, excuse me, I keep putting of in there. I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body, and so forth? Obviously, the Corinthian people were arguing about who was the greatest. Who's the most important? Can you preach? Can you lead the singing? Can you do this? Can you do that? It's so easy. It's connected to ego, but it's not always ego. Sometimes we just get so involved with a big program. Usually it's a formal program, and we get so involved in it that we don't concentrate on little things. And this would be a good place to tell something that I did while here. We had a man here that wasn't at worship services, and I called him, and his mama was sick, and he couldn't come, and his work schedule was bad, and I didn't call him anymore. We found out a few weeks ago that the man had died. I didn't call him. I didn't check on him. Did you? I didn't. I'm ashamed of myself. I believe you brought it. It was Andy. Remember the church here put out the bulletin, preached some. I contacted him one time. I'm ashamed of myself. That's a little thing that I should have been more diligent about, and I'm going to try to do better in the future. One of my very favorite illustrations, and I've told it here before, and I'm going to keep on telling it. Every time you let me talk, I'll probably tell it, because it's one of the best ones I know. Back in 1923, a group of church leaders in Nashville decided that they needed an area-wide meeting, the so-called Tabernacle Sermon. Some of you got the book. I do. These church leaders, the organizers of this great plan, had narrowed the speakers down to two men, N.B. Hardeman and C.M. Pulleas. After much discussion and arguing and deciding and praying, they decided on Brother Hardeman. They went to Brother Pulleas and said, Brother Pulleas, we hope you won't be mad, hope your feelings won't be hurt. But we've decided that Brother Hardeman is going to be our speaker. Would you consider leading the singing? Brother Pulley said, well, I'll sweep the floor if you need me to. That's good. I need that. I need that. I need to sweep more floors. Naaman the leper. You all remember the story back in 2 Kings chapter 5. You remember the story. He was a great man, great leader, rich man, prominent man, had leprosy. No cure for leprosy in those days. We can argue about whether it was the sure enough bona fide leprosy or just a skin disease, because in the Old Testament, leprosy is lumped together, a lot of serious skin diseases, among them was the real leprosy. But I'm going to assume this is the sure enough stuff. This is the real leprosy, and there's no cure. Little slave girl, little Jewish girl, told about this prophet that could talk to the Lord and get him healed. If you remember the story, he sent for Elisha, and Elisha didn't even come out of the front porch, y'all. He sent his servant out. Remember what he told him? What did he tell him? Tell me, somebody. What? Jordan River? How many times? Seven times. You know what he said? You remember what his reaction was? And you don't know who I am. You just don't recognize what a fine, upstanding, prominent man I am. What do you mean telling me to do something like that? And he reared and stomped around and pawed the ground. Finally, remember what the little girl said. If he told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? Oh, yeah, I'd have been right there. Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you just do this little thing? Go do what he said. And it worked. You ever get in that mode? Yeah, you do. I know I do, so you do too. It worked. It's easy to think big. Nothing wrong with big thoughts. But we need to get through the little ones first before we get to the big ones, I believe. I do. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Cup of cold water? No Kool-Aid? No iced tea? Nope, a cup of cold water. That's mighty little. You mean to tell me that giving somebody a glass of cold water get me to heaven? That's not what he's saying, is it? He's talking about attitude. He's talking about attention to details. That's what he's talking about. Luke 16:10 says, he's talking about something else, but it's still applicable, I think. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Now we're getting down to nitty-gritty, aren't we? He's not ignoring the big things. But he's saying, be sure you fill in all those spaces before you get to the big things, I think. I believe that's what he's saying to me. I want to tell you about Miss Hattie Presley. We went to church with Miss Hattie for several years. Miss Hattie's gone on to glory now. Miss Hattie lived in a little box of a house about this side right here. Lived on Social Security. Didn't have a car. Lived on Social Security and what groceries her son would bring by and stick in the refrigerator. We just always check her refrigerator, make sure she had food. She had enough. That's all she had. I'll tell you what she had. She had a telephone. And she wore that telephone out. She'd call me up, and I'd pick it up and say hello, and she'd say, hey, boy. And did she do some good? I get choked up because when I was nearly dead, Miss Hattie had somebody to bring her to the hospital on a walker. Meant a lot. Meant a whole lot. Matthew 13 talks about the parable of the mustard seed. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's little. Don't amount to much. Look what it can grow into. Frequently, I'll ignore something that looks small to me, turns out later not to be small. I get some of the favorite Christians. Miss Hattie was a widow. I get some of my favorite Christians have been little old raggedy poor widow women. I've told you about Miss Alda Owens in Paris, widowed young, had nothing. We moved in there and huge in debt, no money. had this little rental building that I practiced veterinary medicine out of. She made some curtains and come in there and put them up in my clinic. I hope I gave her some money. I don't remember. Surely I tried to, but she didn't do it for money. Little things. I wanna open this up now and let you talk. I want to ask you this. You can't preach. Can you bake a pie? You can't lead the singing. Can you mow a yard? Can you buy a tank of gas for somebody that's hauling people around? Can you do those things? I didn't talk long. I don't have a lot to say anymore as I got old. I don't know near as much as I did when I was young. But this lesson means a lot to me because I'm trying hard as I get older to do these things that we've all thought of as small. What do you, anything occurring to you as we talk about these things that you do or you're learning to do better or somebody's done for you? Oh boy. You know, I've told you all before here, when I was so sick 11 years ago, we started out trying to count the cards and letters and calls. We gave up at about 120. What? 120 for me? I can't imagine. I do a little of it. Not near enough. Do you write a card and tell somebody they did a good job doing something? Do you do that? What about old Brandon? By the way, how is Brandon? Anybody hearing from him? He doing good? Is he up? Any? Was he? I called him a few times. I've neglected him in the last week or so. I done got important again. But I got to get back at it. But I checked on him a little while. Do you send cards? Do you go see people? What about people here? I told you, I'm ashamed of myself the way I let Andy slide away and then die, and I didn't even know he's sick. Do you cover those bases? Because I don't do as good as I need to. Somebody else. Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, I know I'm going to get emotional.
I do it too. You young people, I was so neglectful when I was young. I still am pretty bad, but I'm better than I was. Because so many good things have been done for me. But young people, it's so easy to say, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm not really, I'm kind of a second class Christian. It's easy to think that when you're young. I know I did. And maybe we look on y'all that way too sometimes. Maybe it's our fault too. But there are things that you can do. A card, a telephone call. Oh, my goodness. Somebody else. I want to hear you talk. Yeah, and you probably get more than they do.
Yeah.
We went to see Lisa yesterday, and I believe we got more out of it than she did. We had a big time with her. Somebody else. You're a young man. You're supposed to be that. We all were. Yeah.
Yep.
I need to reel it back in, don't we? I do, too. I do, too. Somebody else. What about...
One of the greatest ladies I've ever known, her name was Ruth Marlowe, was... She never preached the Bible lesson. She was very quiet, unassuming, but she was an encourager. And... I remember when I was a teenager and I led singing at Chapel Avenue, and I know I do a very good job, but she always, that's the best song they've ever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just an encouragement. And anytime you saw her, she had a car load of people. You know, she would pick up anybody who would call her for a car ride, and picked up, always had a car load of kids, bring them to church and take them to this place, take this lady to the doctor, and, you know, she was not a wealthy person. But she was an encourager. I think that's something that we take for granted, is encouragement, that we can give just a word of encouragement to someone when they really need it. Sometimes we don't really know where people are.
When you were talking, I was thinking about Miss Ruth Cully. I told somebody, I believe if I shot somebody with a gun, Miss Ruth would brag on a neat hole I made in it. I mean, just anything I did was just wonderful. What about when people confess wrongs? I've seen this a lot. I've done it a lot. You know my history. It ain't very good. And we go up. We all go up and hug them. If I can ever do anything to help you now, you be sure and call on me, okay? Bye now. I think maybe we could do a little more than that. Maybe we need to. I've told you about Leroy Dedman. He was the preacher at Springfield when I first started trying to get out of the bottle, and I was having a hard old time, and Leroy stuck to me closer than a brother. I mean, any time a crisis would come up, he'd be out there knocking on my door, wanting to see how I was doing. And he and Rose and his wife went all over the country to meetings and eating out and all that kind of stuff. He just stuck close to me, because he knew how vulnerable I was at that time. Do we do that? Not very well. Not very well. I don't. I got to do better. Anything else? Isn't that amazing?
Johnny Creech taught a class in the summer on Monday nights.
Jerry Carmichael, a good preacher friend of ours up in Kentucky, and he lost his dad when he was a little fella. And he said the neighbors, they were all raggedy poor. And one man showed up and didn't have anything to give, but before the funeral, he came and shined all their shoes. How about that? Would you ever thought of that? I never would have. Didn't have anything to give, couldn't do anything else, but he knew they needed to look good for that funeral, so he went in there and got all the shoes and cleaned them up and shined them. That's pretty good. Anybody else? I've sure enjoyed being up here. Yes, sir. Friends of ours back in Paris called us and said, if you want to see Mr. Will, Miss Eddie, people that we've been around all our lives, you better get down here. They're not going to be with us long. So we went down, sang, visited with them, and fed them. Mr. Will said, Tom, you and Gerald said, I'm not going to be around long. I want y'all to say something nice over here. I said, Mr. Will, you don't care for flying, but he said, no, I ain't too right.
Thank you. look like it does.
Got a whole group of people that I couldn't count them all that have kept me propped up. One of them sitting right by the counter that's lived with me 60 years. Anybody else? Love you a bunch. As I've said so many times, there's not a word in the New Testament about extending the invitation. Not a word about an invitation song. It's a tradition, but it's a good tradition because it is so very important. The Lord in Matthew said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you've ever been out there in the slime like I have, you know what that means. Even if you've just committed the good, acceptable little sins, you still maybe know what it means. But he's there, and I think it's entirely appropriate for us to set aside a special time to emphasize that he is there for us. I don't know you well enough to know where you are. As far as the Lord's kingdom is concerned, whether you are a Christian or whether you are a backsliding Christian, a wayward Christian, well, I don't know. You know, though, and he knows. If we can help you and assist you in any way, we'll do it. Let's stand and sing.